Today is Monday, April 23rd, 2018, and we are in the Founders Room at Raven Landing Senior Community and Raven Landing Senior Living and in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I want to thank you, Miriam, for coming today and for being part of this Raven Landing Resident Stories Project. So to begin with, we'll do a little biographical information. Can you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, 1946. I'm the leading edge of the baby boomers. I was born 9 months after the war ended, 9 months after my dad came home. And my dad and mom were both in the military. My mother was an Army nurse and he was a pilot. That's how they met. And one of five children. I have an older brother who was 6 months old before my dad ever met him. And then, you know, three younger siblings too. And growing up in New Orleans, I just loved it there when I was a kid. There was, well, baby boomer time, you know, there was so many kids running around the neighborhood. It was kind of like, have you seen the Our Gang?
Yes.
Yeah, it was just like that, you know, there were just kids everywhere. And we had public school across the street from us. We had a Catholic school three blocks away. We could walk to school. And there was always somebody to play with. And growing up in New Orleans, the houses, because New Orleans is below sea level, so the houses were all built about 3 feet off the ground on brick piers. And so that used to be the place we'd play, is underneath the houses, because it was cooler there. Because there was no air conditioning, you know, so it was hot inside. Yeah, it was hot inside as well as outside. So, I mean, my whole life until I was 10 and we moved to the suburbs was just playing out in the streets and, you know, friends' yards and stuff like that, and schoolyards. It was just a lot of
fun. So when you were 10, you moved to the suburbs?
Yeah, we moved to the suburbs, and everything was different. I mean, when I think of...
That was still in New Orleans, though.
Well, it was, yeah, just right outside of New Orleans, in the suburbs of New Orleans. I always considered the city itself my home, because those were the best years.
The best years of your life.
Yeah, and it was funny, because at that time... There was a taffy truck that would come by, pulled by a mule, and there was, we had the vegetable truck that would come by on a buckboard with horses pulling it, and, you know, all these things there were a lot of the experiences that my mom had that we had as we were growing up, and my sister, who's 8 years younger than I was and grew up in the suburbs, didn't have any of those experiences, you know.
So she didn't have those memories.
Yeah, either. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. So you grew up and you were there all of your life?
I lived in Louisiana until I finished undergraduate work, and then I drove to Oregon on my own, and I was going to Oregon State there, and that's where I met my husband, and he was a teacher. He had a teaching certificate, so he talked me into getting one. And his dream was to work in Alaska, so...
He wanted you both to be teachers.
Yeah, and we applied with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and they were only hiring teaching couples.
Oh, so what year was this?
This was 72, I think, is when we got our first job. He had taught before. He had taught about 5 years before. He taught in Europe and different places. But this was my first job. They sent us to Wainwright, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And so we spent a year there. And that was the time that the Indian land claims was being settled. Mm-hmm. And so the Bureau of Indian Affairs District were reorganizing. And although Wainwright was in the Fairbanks district, most of the schools in Fairbanks BIA were Athabascan and not the Inupiat, which is what they were in Wainwright. So they transferred us to Shagluck, which is an Athabascan village between here and Holy Cross. And we spent 5 years there. It was wonderful years. Really, really enjoyed them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
I still... I still get together with one of the students I had there. When she's in town, she calls, and we'll have lunch together.
Oh, really? So you and your husband taught there, and that was 5 years, and then what happened? When did you...
Well, then, actually, after that, we took off for a year, and we traveled around Europe. And then we got jobs in Fairbanks, and we both started out at Hunter, and then he taught at Barnett, and I stayed at Hunter. And I stayed there till I retired after, I think I was there for 16, 17 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, okay. What would you like to tell us about your career that you would like any descendants that you might have to?
Well, I love teaching. When I was a kid, I had an aunt who was a third grade teacher. And I always, you know, like typical for little girls, playing teacher all the time.
Yeah.
And I just really love teaching. Especially love teaching science and math. Those were my favorite subjects.
Those were your favorite subjects. Mm-hmm. Oh, golly. So you were here for many years. You've been in Fairbanks.
Yeah, we moved to Alaska in 72. We came up for a two-year stint. We had signed a two-year contract with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and we're going to have a two-year adventure and then go back to Oregon, and I'm still here. My husband passed away in 2013, and so I'm here on my own.
And so you're here on your own. Mm-hmm. And okay, and your brothers and sisters, are they?
They all still in New Orleans.
They're still in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, did you get to go back there often?
I go back every year. I spend about three months back there. It was after when my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, we moved to Washington for a year, and we were in an assisted living facility there. You know, we didn't move. It wasn't supposed to be a permanent move. Actually, we went there to visit his family, and he decided it was easier staying down there, so we did, and that's where he passed away. And then,
so he passed away there.
Yeah, and then I came back to Fairbanks, and I was only here 2 weeks when I got a diagnosis of breast cancer. And so when I told my brothers and sisters that, they said, please, please come to Louisiana so we can take care of you because, you know, your husband's gone and you're there by yourself now. So I did, and I'm really glad I did. They were wonderful, just really, really wonderful. We've always been very, very close. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Family's an important thing
it
in
really
your
is.
Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So when I got back to Alaska after the chemo and radiation and everything, the operation,
I bet you they didn't want you to come back here.
Oh, they've been wanting me to stay down there forever. This is
but
home.
But your heart is here.
Yeah, this is home.
It's
yeah.
home and your heart is here.
Yeah. I do go back there. I see doctors every year, and I visit with them. I stay with my sister for 2 or 3 months a year. And then, so I leave. I'm a snowbird now. I leave.
You're a snowbird.
Yeah.
Well, tell us how you came to Alaska and what you've been doing. How did you come to come to Raven Landing?
Well, I had no idea I was going to do that. And, we live about 10 miles north of town. We did live there and up in the hills. And when I came back right after the treatment, I thought, oh, I love it here. I don't want to ever leave it.
But say it loud, loud.
Oh, I said, I just love this house. I love being out in the woods. But I realized after a while, you know, the treatment had damaged my heart, and I was having trouble on the hills, you know, walking around the hills and going up and down the stairs because it was a two-story house. And I just realized, you know, it's time.
It's time.
Yeah, so I called here thinking, well, I'll find out, you know, how long it's going to be a wait because I had heard that there was a waiting list. And when I called, and talk to Susan, she says, well, you know, we have an apartment coming open next month if you want it. She said it's a downstairs apartment, it's a corner apartment, and nobody on the list wants it, so it's available. So I said, yeah, I'll take it.
So that's why you came.
Yeah, so I had my house and this, and I had to get my house ready to sell, and I finally sold it last January.
Uh-huh.
So that's burden that's off my shoulders now.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your experience here since you've been at Raven Landing?
You know, it's a really nice place to live. People here are so friendly, and there's so many different activities. I really enjoy the exercise classes, and I enjoy the friendly staff and the food. Wow. We are so lucky to have Slav cooking for us. Oh, my gosh.
Good.
And it's nice having somebody to eat with in the evenings. And
And to see people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every day you can see people. If you don't want to see them, you can stay in your apartment.
Right. And it's so easy walking my dog here, you know, on the flat surfaces and on the sidewalks instead of walking them on the gravel roads up and down the hills, which is what I had before.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a fun and final question. What is or was your favorite age and why?
I think probably I enjoyed my 30s because I was most active then. My husband and I were both really active. We did cross-country skiing, we swam, we bicycled. And at that time, you know, I was swimming a mile a day, and I was. We were cross-country skiing every weekend. And it was just a nice time.
Nice time.
Because I could do so much, and you know, it's one of my regrets is that now this, plus I could travel. I love traveling, and it's hard to travel now. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to. Is there anything else that you would like to put in the record that we haven't talked about?
No, but I think it's wonderful that you're doing this. Oh. This is.
Well, I think it's going to be a really good project. And I want to thank you for participating and for.
I love your little.
Appreciate your contribution.
Is that a baby?
Thank you.
Is that a baby?